Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And welcome back to Guild Fellows. We are back on the Seventh Seas today. So we have some quick housekeeping details. I'm trying to figure out how dramatic wounds work and minor wounds work. And typically, the normal way to play is they kind of disappear, like all of them, by the end of the episode. And a lot of people on the online community have found ways to roleplay that to make it a little bit more fun, you know, make it a little bit more dramatic, as hence the point of dramatic wound. And so going forward, minor wounds will disappear at the end of the episode. Depending on a dramatic wound, there might have to be some roleplay or some rolls to try and fix that. Just so everyone knows, that's what we decided on. The Kraken wounds were all pretty minor. They all got healed when the gang was in France bathing and enjoying their hotel room for all of like 4 hours before it got burned to the ground. And that is everything. So we're back on the high seas. How are you three doing?
Well, Arthur's feeling great now that he doesn't have a bunch of wounds anymore.
I mean, Q has like a lot of emotional wounds.
You guys took two hells, like just hell of a bath for both of you, but it just can't heal the inside.
No, it cannot.
Yeah, Q, between your girlfriend's like keepsake dissolving into water and your home country spurring into civil war, do you want to talk about your feelings? We have some time on the ship with some alcohol if you want to, you know.
We don't really like talk about feelings in the family. Right. We just sort of I'll just take the alcohol. Okay, cool.
Yeah, understood.
Arthur's like, I didn't really want to anyway. I was just, you know, asking for your sake.
I'm not equipped to handle all that. Just want to give the option.
When you refer to somebody's hometown and country being destroyed as all that.
Is anybody really prepared to talk about all that? I don't really think there's like a rule book for how you deal with somebody's country falling apart and the magical girlfriend also dissolving. I don't know.
We're going to Sinead real quick. Sinead, your black spot is getting worse. But your sailing is doing great. What's going through Sinead's mind on your first time back in high seas in a while?
Well, she's definitely enjoying herself sailing. That's a plus. But I think the black spot is worrying her a little bit because it's hurting a lot. She doesn't know what that means, and apparently no one else is feeling the same way. So what the hell is all that about?
Giuseppe is doing his usual sulking. He's a very moody Vodachi boy. And so far the seas seem relatively calm. It is the break of morning. It looks like the sky's not too red. It's going to be a beautiful day for sailing. So far, according to superstitions and things I read on the internet recently. And the sea seems to be having a very good day. Behind you, it looks like the cinder of Montaigne is now completely gone. You can't see it from any vantage point anymore. There's some clouds deep in the distance, which could either be clouds of smoke or normal clouds. It's hard to tell at this point. And so, now for the fun part. Quick random encounter generator. Everybody roll exactly 1d10 and apply it to my little chart to see what happens to you guys. Maybe something, maybe nothing.
Oh, Lord.
I got a 1.
1 plus...
I got a 7.
7, all right, 8.
I got a 9.
9, all right. And we're going to roll for Giuseppe. See how he does. Oh, okay. Nice. Okay, so he got a 4, and as we all know, 4 plus 1 is 5, and the other numbers all add up to something else.
Yeah, numbers do add up to other things.
I'm kind of surprised you put the 4 and the 1 together and not the 9 and the 1, but, you know, that's how you want to do that math.
Is it not 21?
9 plus 1 plus 5.
Did we get a Yahtzee? Plus...
Did you get a 7?
Yahtzee.
Was it not a 1, 4, 7, and 9, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was a 1, 4, 7. Yeah, it's a 21, just so everybody knows. You got the 7C Yahtzee.
We got the magic dice number.
All right, so as you sailed into the morning... The nice, calm sea gets a little bit choppier, but not too much to be worried about. It looks like the weather is going to be fine, but the waves, for some reason, keep giving you a little bit more grief. And I'm 99% sure wind causes waves, so it's kind of a weird combination, as if something beneath the water was causing the disturbance. It's building gradually, but not quite enough to be terribly worrying. It looks like it's mostly pulling the ship in slightly... It's making it go a little bit faster. It's pulling slightly starboard at the moment. Does anybody notice or take care about this? Or are we all too focused on our specific problems?
I mean, Shanae's going to try to wrangle against it. Just to keep control.
So it's going to keep building up and up against Sinead. But of course, Sinead is our favorite pirate below the age of, how old was it? You were 15?
15.
I knew that. It's in my character sheet you guys sent me that I read. So as it's pulling against you, I need to see if you can roll Resolve plus Sailing for me.
Resolve.
And let's see if you can escape this encounter before it starts.
And if Sinead, said anything, I would help where I can.
That's a good hint. It's not really in character for her, too, so she's not gonna.
I respect it.
His actions will have consequences.
And I get a bonus die, right, for...
The first time rolling sailing, yep. So I was actually gonna... If you guys had all worked together, I was gonna let you guys all work together, but you didn't, and I... Don't feel like changing the raises for this. So if I planned all you guys working together. So if you can give me 9 by yourself, you could absolutely avoid this encounter.
There's no way.
As it starts.
I'm only rolling 7 dice.
So an 8 is going to all the exploding dice. You get 8 tens with 7 dice. It's amazing. If you can give me at least an 8, it'll be pretty easy. Same with a 7. And it'll make more sense after you see what this encounter is on the high seas. And it goes on a sliding scale on how difficult it will be for you guys to get out of this one. It'll be more difficult as you go down. If you get me a 0, then your ship is going to sink immediately. And that'll be fun.
I don't think it's possible for me to get 0. But it's well, it's not impossible, but it's going to be very hard.
If you roll 7 ones, I mean, that's a 0 raise. yeah, see what you got.
All right, let's go. Oh, shit. Okay. I got to pair these together. Oh, God. I did roll low on a few of these, so that's not great. But I did get an exploding 10. So, okay. There's so many dice in front of me. I'm sorry. I'm not good at this. And I have to, like, a lot of them are... Okay, so that's that. That's that. Okay, that's 3 raises.
All right, you got a solid 3 raises. This is fewer than I was expecting.
This is
not fair.
This is like, you stacked this against me. Stacked this against me.
I figured you'd all work as a team like the other 4 sailing checks we've made this campaign.
Sinead decided she was super prideful about big waves, so now...
You guys haven't been super helpful when coming, like, as it comes to sailing so far, so just getting drunk on the ship.
I mean, you haven't told us what to do. You're the one with all the sailing experience. I'm just waiting for you to be like, hey, I need you to go tie that rope down. I need you to, you know, boom the jig or whatever.
You nailed it. Boom the jig is a real thing.
Boom the jig.
So when you strap down the boombox.
I didn't realize it was this big of a thing. You just said that the waves were getting a little bigger, which is not that big of a deal.
He preceded that by saying, I'm going to roll something on the random encounter table.
Well, in my point of view, I don't know that. I'm trying to stay in character here.
Okay. You forgot it wasn't a big deal, so you forgot to boom the jig. That was the problem. Now it's a big deal.
I'll become useful whenever the boom jigger that's under the waves becomes aggroed to us and I can
shoot sure
with arrows.
If you two have eyes, you two are allowed to perceive. You can tell that something's a little bit wrong.
I would assume, yeah, but Q's the kind of person who's just going to wait and be like, oh, that doesn't seem good. Well, Sinead's kind of captaining the boat, so I'm sure if I need to do something, she'll let me know.
Oh my god.
So as Arthur is getting up from his morning hangover, Q has grabbed the alcohol from him and refusing his advice. It looks like that is not Q's circus, and therefore not Q's monkey, at the fact that they might all drown.
He's like, whatever, my lover is underwater anyway. Like,
yeah, not to speak. Q is not drinking this morning, though.
Arthur was not drinking last night.
Really? I made that up. I just, that's my perpetual picture of Arthur in my head.
Fine, then he was. Yeah, all right.
So as the waters... retcon being drunk as the water's picking up, Sinead, you're fighting with all your might and you're able to keep the ship from capsizing going under, although it starts to pull harder and harder into dragging the ship forward and also pulling towards starboard. As it goes further and further, the ship starts to angle a little bit. I mean, granted, it's a very medium ship. Like, it's not, like, a big galleon or nothing, so it's not crazy to think that the ship might getting tossed a little bit, but it's still a sizable difference. And you start to notice that it's pulling in almost a circular fashion until it gets to a point where you can no longer steer out of it. You can no longer turn the ship to port at all. It just keeps... going further and further starboard until you're in a sort of whirlpool. As you pick up speed, it looks like there is something dragging the ship to the bottom, causing a whirlpool from beneath the waves. It does not necessarily look like it's anything magical, although it doesn't also necessarily look like it's anything non-magical either. All you know is you're spinning quickly and you can't get out of it. As the whirlpool deepens and deepens, you can see below you that there's actually, like, whenever you shake water in a circle in the glass and like the bottom of it gets further down, that there's seems to be a pit going in the bottom quite a few feet down from the edge of the ship.
Oi, what on earth? So what are my options here?
I was gonna say, what does one do about this? This
yeah, kind like, of a, like, what am I doing? I have no... What?
All three of us are just standing on the edge of the ship like, well, fuck.
I can just play taps for you guys and let it...
That's it. Season end right here.
Good campaign, folks. So, on the ship, you do have, you know, standard items. There's some weaponry. There's a couple of guns. There's some things with gunpowder in them. There is a collection of fabrics, of some of them of different colors. There are there's a spare set of sails. You have the anchor, although that may not help at this moment.
Question.
figure it out.
Are we on the outside of the whirlpool, or are we, like, in the middle? Like, are we, like, spinning around, like on the outside, or are we, like, just fucking making circles in the middle?
If this was a toilet bowl, like, if this was a toilet bowl, you guys would be, like, you guys would be close to the top. Like, you're still on the outside of it.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, I'm gonna call over to Q, and I'm gonna say, "Oi, Q, throw something in the middle."
Okay, throw something in the middle.
The middle of what?
Just chucks a fucking
whirlpool. The whirlpool. Yeah, the whirlpool. Just throw something down the whirlpool.
What did you throw down the whirlpool?
I don't know. Something that's near me and brightly colored, so I could see it easier.
A ham sandwich.
If you said. There was like fabric or anything, if I could just grab something. I'm not super particular.
All right, so you grab one of your distress flags, a bright orange colored piece of fabric, and toss it down into the whirlpool. As it floats down to the bottom, it spins and it gets sucked underneath, and you can see it no more when it vanishes beneath the water.
Okay, now what's Captain?
Well, I was hoping that would reveal some information for us, but,
I think it's kind of, you know, it's pretty self-evident.
Right.
Can Arthur check for, like, is this the type of, like, ship that we could row, like, that has the option to, like, use oars, like, below
it
deck?
It does.
This was the middle-sized ship.
It does. There is basically two... There's, like, two holes for rows. There's not, like, a big hole rowing area because you guys chose the middle one. So, yeah, there is. But it's not, like, you ain't going to be doing 80 knots over there unless you're just yoked.
Okay. Sinead, try to steer us out of the whirlpool. Giuseppe, you and I are going below deck. Grab an oar, buddy.
Sinead, like, mumbles because, like, I've been trying to get us out of the whirlpool. Why are you trying to tell me what I'm already doing?
Hey, never give an order you know won't be followed.
So, Arthur and Giuseppe, this is Giuseppe's, like, quietly freaking out. Like, he's seen some weird stuff, but, like, usually you guys are good at sailing, so he's kind of, he's not super freaked out. So you guys go down into the belly of the ship. You guys both have an oar, and it's sticking out of either side of the middle.
Okay, I think Arthur would have to be on the oar that's on the inside of the whirlpool, so he steers us out.
That is some big brain energy on your next roll, which is going to be the roll to make this work. That's I'll give you an extra dice on that. That's some in-depth thinking.
Okay.
Because I don't know anything about physics. Anyway, so you and Giuseppe are both going to roll resolve plus athletics. And if you guys collectively get a 10, I'll let you escape.
All right. Resolve and athletics. Okay.
Giuseppe was very good at one of those, really bad at the other one. If you get below a 2, one of you guys' aura snaps. If you get a 0, both of them snap.
So is it a combined roll or is it individual?
It was combined.
Okay, cool.
So 5 apiece?
No, Rob, get 10 raises on your own. Like me, like I had to do.
Well, I just did not do well. I only got 1 raise.
On the plus side, Giuseppe got 2, so nothing breaks. Giuseppe and Arthur are below deck, like, come on, lads, we can do it. And they're not doing it, actually. They're not. Their water's spraying about, and they're giving it all they can. It kind of looks like a rowing machine, where you're not getting anywhere, but you're still doing the motion for all you can. It's like that. Above deck, you guys still have, of course, any connection you can use with the ocean. You have any ability, any gunpowder, any lifeboats, rafts. You have other options as well.
Just abandon ship while the both of us are like below deck. We come back up and we're like, where's everybody gone?
Why would we have any reason to believe that getting in a life raft wouldn't just screw us over more?
I'm just saying this is what you guys have.
Use it as a decoy.
Yes. If we feed the whirlpool, it won't be mad at us anymore. It was just upset with our previous offering. We must sacrifice one of the 4. Let's be real, it's going to be Giuseppe.
Problem solved.
The ocean wants what it had and lost. I'm just going to close my eyes and reach out with my mind and try to ask Lady Arval to, like, not let us die in a shipwreck again, like that one time, like a little guilt trippy, like, hey, remember that one time when you killed us for no reason? That kind of sucked, and I don't, as much as I miss you, I don't want to, like, die again.
So, the ocean sort of, it senses your thoughts, it understands what you're trying to say, and the ocean
left you on red. Back.
Damn it, Rob. I was listening to that, and I was being like, it's music time, but then Rob cracks a joke.
Sorry.
I like the idea that the ocean doesn't just leave you on red. The ocean just replies, like, red at 6:37
with the emoji
p.m.
check mark.
Yeah. Anyways, so, please go back to the very moving thing.
The ocean responds with a feeling it gives you, as if you have already understood and possibly said the meaning of the ocean's thirst for you guys. Sinead, unrelated possibly, your black spot is getting far, far worse the more you're at the helm of the ship. As every good sailor would feel behind the helm, you feel as the ship is a part of you, as you are on the sea, it's an extension of yourself. And for some reason, as you're navigating these treacherous waters, the black spot is growing and hurting worse. Q, you also get the feeling that Lady Arbal possibly could help you in a way. But it doesn't look like it would be necessarily in either of your best interests if you are able to help yourself. You get the feeling you get when someone says, you're just going to have to trust me, and you're like, why? That feeling is being, like, injected into your veins through the salt of the ocean.
Okay,
she... She feels kind of guilted now, though, by the way. The ocean feels really bad.
Good.
Like, the ocean got guilt tripped hard.
Hell yeah.
Welcome back. We are just going to get right into things, because we're posting this episode a little bit late this week, so let's just jump into announcements and get it through. First shout out again goes to Will Savino for providing the music for today's episode. Links to the Patreon and song titles will be in the description. You can find our new website layout at guildfellows.com that will take you to all of our links to our merch page, our Patreon, I think, and our socials, and just the episode, the podcast page links. So yeah, go check out our newly designed website, thanks to Amelia, just at guildfellows.com. The link to join our Discord server is in the description. We have a lot of fun conversations every week, so just come join us. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser so we can grow and be seen by more people like you. And the next episode will be out in less than a week on this upcoming Wednesday, which is the... what day is that? The 19th. So that's, I think, probably 4 or 5 days from now from when this is going up. So, yeah, thank you all again so much, and we will see you next time. Also, I just adopted a new 3-month-old kitten. I'm posting pictures of her on Instagram at kiki.babykitty on Instagram. That's kiki.babykitty. Go follow her. Have I told you guys about Anchor? If you haven't heard about it, let me explain. It's the easiest way to make a podcast. It's a free app that you can find in your phone's app store. It gives you creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast straight from your phone or your computer. Let it be known that you don't need a professional setup to start a podcast. Anchor distributes your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and tons of other platforms. You can make money from your podcasts with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. We use Anchor for our podcast, and as the one who edits and posts our episodes, it honestly makes my job so much easier. I really and truly love it. If you're looking to start your own podcast, I highly recommend using Anchor to do so. You can download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
All right. You guys are now halfway down in the whirlpool.
Okay, so this black spot on Sinead's hand is making her very irritated. So she's going to try to, like, pick up something heavy and throw it in like, right in the middle of the whirlpool and see if that does anything. Or if, like, there's a harpoon or something.
So, next to you is... There's a pile. I mean, it's a small enough ship to where a lot of the stuff on the ship is going to be next to you.
Right.
But there is a sort of flintlock flare gun. There is a cannonball. And there is a harpoon.
Yeah, I'm going to take the harpoon and chuck it right in the middle as hard as I can.
All right, so that's going to be aim plus... I've done a lot of resolve lately just because I really love the idea of, like, your grit to survive is one of your traits.
Would it be, so like, plus brawn? Because I'm trying to throw it hard?
It is down, so it, like, you're throwing it downwards, so I feel like it wouldn't take too much brawn, but I'll give it to you. Brawn plus aim.
Gotcha. Okay. Raises.
So, here's the thing. As you're getting further down, you can sort of tell that this is a sentient whirlpool. And so, it is something that could possibly be combated. So, you can make some progress and do some wounds. It's going to be...
Why can she see that it's a sentient whirlpool? What gives that away for her? I'm just curious.
You can see, like, the a sort of... like a mouth at the bottom of it. Yeah, cartoonish eyes and a and like two hands and a, I don't know, but there's like a sort of a mouth two at the bottom hands. Of it.
I'm just imagining a man like slurping super hard the bottom of the ocean.
I'm imagining like Cuphead kind of animations of a whirlpool that's like spinning and like, you know, doing that little back and forth wiggle thing they do.
So now that you're trying to take aim at it, you know this for the first time because you're really trying to nail this thing. It's going to be one raise per. It's going to be one raise per per wound to inflict. You can bank some for later. You can use one to help a friend, or you can use one to erase a non-dramatic wound. So normal combat rules.
I keep forgetting that I have some banked, so I'm probably going to use those to help me out. But let's see what I roll. Okay, this is a better. This is better. I appreciate this more than my last roll. Okay, so that's 3, and then... okay, I rolled 3, and I'm going to add one of my banked ones, so that's 4.
All right. When Sinead does better at chucking a harpoon than she does at sailing.
She's mad. It's her anger that's she's hurting.
Do you use all 4 of those to inflict wounds?
What the other ones were to help someone else or to bank. So, yeah, I'm just going to use all those to fuck them up.
All right. Sinead, you grab the harpoon, which means that your hand is, like, in searing pain. One of it's gripping the wheel. The other one picks up a harpoon and throws it.
She's got a one-hand feel when on you're the hurting. Steering wheel. The when other on her harpoon.
I mean, she's not going to be thinking straight if she's in as much pain as you describe.
True. That is some great stuff going on there. Our song is a giant whirlpool and the 4 of us on the show. I couldn't continue that bit. I'm sorry. Anyway, so this harpoon goes way, way down into the bottom of it. You hear like a roaring, like a... like that. And
wow.
Wasn't expecting that.
Arthur like stops rowing and looks at Giuseppe, and they're just like both like in disbelief, like making eye contact. Like, do we look over to see what that was, or do we just keep rowing? and unison, they just start rowing harder than before. Just like, let's get the fuck out of here.
There was a rope attached to the end of the harpoon, and it snapped completely off. It could not hold attention of the ship pulling away from the mouth in the whirlpool. You did some serious damage. However, the sound was loud enough to where the ship was like, you could feel like the waves from it. Like, that was loud. Like, all of you guys, your ears are going to be ringing. That was very loud. It was enough to really disorient you. Yes, but continue.
I mean, I did my action. I heard it for whatever it's...
That's true. We Arthur and Q still have reactions from this sequence.
And I get the sense that it is like hungry for us. Like this is some like weird cosmic balancing, right?
You're asking who are you asking here?
I'm asking the DM because you said that when I was like, I think the ocean is mad that we're alive.
Yes. mm-hmm. You can definitely infer that from your interaction with Her Highness. Who also misses you, by the way.
Aw, I miss her too. Yeah. Are there any other things I can shoot at the water? I'm not, like, super good with weapons, but I can try. Did you say there was another gun?
There's a flare gun, yes, used for emergencies, which can help alert someone to your position if you guys really get in a pinch. Or you can just shoot it at the thing, which, if you guys really get in a pinch and you sink and you're floating, you won't have the flare gun to use to summon the ship relatively easily, but... You know.
Well, when you put it that way, I almost don't want to shoot the flare gun into the whirlpool.
I mean, it's up to you. It will do damage. That's like 5 dramatic wounds pretty much instantly.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot the flare gun into the whirlpool.
All right. What do I got to do for that? If you guys do lose this, you're basically going to die, but that's okay. The flare gun is next to Sinead. Just go grab it. And then just roll me aim plus resolve.
Always resolve with you. Never,
all you gotta do is get at least a 2. Yeah, just get at least a 2, and that's a hit. And it does 5 wounds.
Statistically unlikely.
5 wounds, though. Come on. It's a gun.
Yeah, I got one.
All right, so it barely... you fire the flare gun, your only hope in the emergency, and it goes straight up into the air.
That bad?
Well, a zero, you would have, like, hit somebody or your own ship, so, I mean, it could have been worse. I also could have made it more of a sliding scale, but that would have increased the amount of raises you needed to hit, which isn't what I wanted to do at that moment. So, yeah, like... Zeros, you hurt somebody. One's a utter miss, and two's a bullseye's a short range. But it's better than making you roll like a five. You shoot straight into the air. Like, you pick it up. It must have been on a bit of a hair trigger. And you don't hit anybody with it, but that's a miss. No damage taken to the mouth whirlpool at all.
That's all I got.
Arthur, what's your plan, buddy?
So Arthur, at this point, in the span of like 20 seconds, heard a giant roar coming from the ocean, and then just saw the shimmer of a flare being reflected on the water, and his curiosity at this point has gotten the better of him. So he gives Giuseppe the other oar, which I'm sure he's thrilled about, and he heads back up and just like looks around and is like, what did I miss below deck? What is going on up here?
Yes, yeah, Sinead's like holding one hand on the wheel and bleeding. Well, not bleeding, but her arm is killing her. She's just doing a harpoon. Q's holding a gun.
Never a good sign.
Okay, is the anchor on our ship like on the same side as like the whirlpool?
It is. The anchor is starboard. I don't know if that's historically accurate, but it's 7C, so I deem it accurate.
Okay, so Arthur's going to go to the anchor. I don't know how it's connected to the ship, because some ships, it's like out of the side, and you like haul it in from the inside of the ship, but all the times it's like on the outside. You can like actually grab it, but... however he releases the anchor, Arthur wants to like drop the anchor in the middle of the whirlpool and smash whatever's down there.
Okay, I don't think he can really like. I mean, it's an anchor. This thing is heavy enough to stop a ship from moving. Like, he can't like just throw it. You can drop it, but you're not quite over the middle of the whirlpool enough yet to like just drop it.
Okay.
You'd have to. I guess you could wait till you're, like, at the bottom and then just, like, an anvil and a Looney Tune and just bonk.
Okay, so Arthur goes over to the anchor and then the Pokemon dialogue screen pops over his head and it says, there's a time and place for everything, but not now. Okay.
Oh my god.
At least that's what goes through his head, but you get the idea.
I love how Rob, with, like, 5 seconds of our time together... took over DMing, made an anachronism, and then made everything Pokemon. Thank you.
Take over DMing. I have free range over what my character thinks.
It is all in your head. You said that. I was picturing like it's like in the sky or something. Like there's a time and place for everything. It's like
that's just the Pokemon. Those are just the words. Those are just the words that he thinks. I was just making it.
Okay.
Sorry to break the accuracy of the 7C universe.
We are very loyal upon the consistency of this world.
Okay,
I'm just giving you. Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, so can he see the harpoon sticking out of the creature?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is visible and easy to aim at, unless you're shooting a flare gun, I guess.
All right. He is going to try to shoot it with his bow and arrow, I think. Because he can
all
do
right.
that pretty quickly.
All right. Notch one up. And let's let it fly. That's going to be aim plus. Let's make that one finesse. And if you have any special tools with it, HMU.
I do. So I have the accurate archer ability. So I get a free raise on attacks made with a bow.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's just an automatic wound. Yep. So normal combat rules, one raise to one wound inflicted on the creature.
Okay. So I got one automatically. Okay. So I rolled two ones and two twos. So I got two raises altogether.
All right.
It's the day of the low rolls.
It's sort of a miracle you even hit anything at all. As Arthur, knocks up, just notches on that arrow and aims it, the ship is spinning at like 50 knots in a complete circle as it rocks back and forth. You're completely disoriented from the loudest screech ever. You still manage to hit it and cause two wounds of damage. It lands right next to the harpoon. Clearly not a bullseye. Did not hit it in a vulnerable spot, but through your ability, literally by game mechanic, of being able to shoot anything, Arthur does what he does best, buries an arrow right in there. As you guys continue to spin, you are now about 4/5 of the way to the bottom, in which you guys all meet your uncomfortable watery dooms and have to re-roll new characters. Anyway, and as... As you guys near the bottom, you notice on the far, far, far horizon, it looks like a dot has appeared and is getting slightly larger, as if somebody heard a nuclear bomb's worth of noises.
Oi, Q, you still got that flare gun?
Is there more flares or just the one?
That was it. That was all the flare. It did see the flare, though. I mean, that's...
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's headed rapidly towards you. It heard a very loud noise, and then somebody shot a flare. So you guys aren't exactly subtle.
Yeah, everything according to my master plan as a backup to save us.
As you guys sink one step closer to it, it's the top of the round again. So who would like to do... what for another round as the ship gets closer to you guys and you get closer to the bottom of the sea?
See, I'm kind of at an impasse here because, I feel like we're not going to be able to actually kill this thing, but it's just a waiting game after that to see if we can get the people to come help us. So, I think what Sinead is going to do is just going to go back to the wheel and try to finesse the way out of the whirlpool again.
I'd like to help in any way I can.
Okay, so you're going to grab a hold of the wheel and help Sinead try and get you guys out of this mess before we roll raises. Arthur, what's the plan?
Would Arthur know probably whether...
messing with the sails, actually. Sorry.
It's okay. Would Arthur know whether or not the barrels full of gunpowder are water? I don't think they would be, because they would probably need wood.
They are not, but they're not all of them are soaking wet all the way through.
Okay, so I'm just going to tell you the plan I had in my head, and I'll let you tell me whether or not this is possible with the physics of gunpowder in this game. But Arthur was thinking about hucking one of the barrels of gunpowder overboard and shooting it with a gun once it's in the center so it explodes, but if that only works if it doesn't get besodded before it reaches.
I feel like that would blow us up as well, so yeah, maybe not that.
I will say you can absolutely explode. I don't know if mid-air shotting you don't even have a gun right now, so that wouldn't exactly work, but yeah. If you found a way to light on fire and blow it up, that would actually work. However, that Sinead is correct. That would also cause some damage to you guys. It may or may not, depending on how well you guys roll and how good Q and Sinead are together at sailing, whether it would actually sink the ship or not. It would hit you guys. You guys take some wounds. It would cause enough damage to seriously injure or even kill the whirlpool monster. So it is up to you.
Okay. I still want to do it.
Okay, I hope you guys are really good at dodging debris and fire and death. You guys are good at dodging death.
Dear fucking
this is an emergency. We need to explode a monster.
You're just gonna make my life harder.
Well, it's gonna be hella raises. Hellraise is coming your way, Shanae.
Okay, so Arthur's gonna try to. So Arthur's gonna grab a gun and stuff it in his waistband, and then he's going to roll a barrel of gunpowder to the edge of the ship.
So you don't have like a flintlock pistol. You've got like plenty of flammables and things to start fires. You don't have like a gun though.
Oh, okay.
You have the empty flare gun.
Is there any... Okay, can he, find a rag and grab a bottle of alcohol?
Yeah.
Okay. He is going to wet the rag with the alcohol and tie it around an arrow.
Arthur, what the hell are you doing?
Not now, Sinead. Trying to fight a monster with fire that lives in the ocean. It's not a great idea, but it's all I have.
You realize the ship is made of wood?
I do realize that, but there's another ship on the horizon, and I bet that we'll be able to swim better once there's not a whirlpool, so we're going for it. Once he gets the rag affixed to the arrow, and gets the barrel, on the edge, he has to kick the barrel in and then light the arrow with, I'm assuming, his tinderbox that he has.
All right.
It's like flint and steel.
Okay, I mean, try and hit the barrel. It's going to be finesse plus aim. Okay. And for dramatic effect, I will keep it a secret how many you're going to need to roll for this. I'm totally kidding. I'm telling you ahead of time. It's going to be at least... It's going to have to be at least a 3 to be able to hit it.
Okay. Fuck. It's a good thing I get one automatically. Okay, let me just roll. Come on, dice, don't fuck me on this one. Okay, we can work with this. Okay. Alright, so I've got one more dice. I have to roll at least a 3. So get the third raise. That was a 1, so I was literally like 2 dice values off. So I got 2 raises.
Amazing.
At least the ship won't explode because I can't hit it, so.
Or maybe you only explode the ship.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I don't know how I would manage to only
shoot it too early.
Oh, I just sneeze and release the arrow too soon.
Or the fact that we're jostling in a whirlpool throws you off balance, it jerks your gun the wrong way or whatever.
So
not gun, but bomb.
How many did you say you got?
Yeah, there's no way around that. Yeah, so I got 2 raises. I was literally so close. I have 3 dice that are going towards 1 raise that just didn't get completed.
So here's the thing. 2 raises, you do hit the barrel. It's just a little too close to the ship.
No!
Not the best timing. So Sinead's gonna have to roll hella raises, or you guys are all dead. And I mean dead. And real dead this time. Not fake dead like it last time.
I swear to God.
Did I kill the monster? Did I kill the monster?
So give
me
a second.
No, you killed us.
At least you have Q to help you.
Releases the arrow of fate. And he mistimed how long it's gonna take. So as Arthur's arrow smashes into the side of the barrel, it just blows up. Everything goes white for a second. We're talking bright lights, fire. It's a barrel of gunpowder. These things blow up. I've seen National Treasure 30 times, and it's just boom, right in the middle of the whirlpool. And you hear a. Like that, you know what I mean? Talking about something like that, and
oh
then
my God, that's really good.
The thing just absolutely just implodes as tentacles and teeth are on fire. It is not having a good day. It is absolutely obliterated, and a dark purple inky substance just starts billowing up from the ocean. However, as this happens, We're going to go back just a couple seconds. So rewind. So we rewinded. Sinead, you see the barrel being thrown off the edge of the ship. You can see the art there about to loose a flaming arrow. You could probably guess what's going to happen. So your job is to steer the ship enough away to where the ship and your crew takes minimal damage. Originally, it was just the ship that was going to take damage.
Oh, Christ.
However, since Arthur rolled a 2...
Since Arthur is a fucking dumbass...
The crew is now also eligible for damage for the fewer raises that you get. Q is helping you, so Q's rolls will add to yours, and both of you guys do this together.
Okay.
As it stands, all of you guys are going to take... One dramatic and 2 minor wounds apiece, including Giuseppe, all 4 of you guys. The ship is going to be sunk for sure. So 1 dramatic and 2 one dramatic and 2 minor is a total of 7 wounds. So each raise you get is going to reduce that by 1 by 1. If you can give me 7 total between the 2 of you, you guys don't take any damage, but the ship is going to be sunk. On the flip side of things, you can also angle the ship if you choose. You guys take most of the damage by steering away from it, protecting the deep hole of the ship, the part near that's in the water, but angling the deck towards the explosion. You guys will end up taking... The ship will not be sunk. You guys will end up taking 3 full dramatic wounds, minus 1 for every raise that you guys get. So you can steer away from it, sink the ship, make you guys take fewer, steer towards it, protect the hull. The deck gets cut up with you guys. It is up to you.
So I'm going to do the first option, where we take less damage, but the ship takes more.
All right. So you and Q are going to crank that wheel. The ship is going to be sunk for sure. The monster is dead. The ship will be sunk. Basically 7 wounds. One of those would be dramatic. Minus 1 for each raise you guys get to get together. That's resolve plus sailing for the both of you.
All right. Let's go.
That's what plus sailing?
Resolve.
I'm not good at that.
I have a question for while they're rolling. Is Arthur going to take damage regardless since he was like on the side of the ship with the explosion?
Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I feel like Arthur... he should be punished for his actions.
I would also like to be punished for this because it would be really weird if Arthur was like, wow, like that was kind of whack. And then everyone else is like really like, fucked up about it. Like,
so Arthur is going to take 1 dramatic wound no matter what. Arthur is going to take that plus the 6 or plus the 7. So 2.5. Which means if you did the math and you'd steered the ship towards it, Arthur would have taken like 3 wounds short of helpless and dead. So anyway.
He deserves it.
So Arthur, you take 1 dramatic wound already, plus 7, minus 1 for every raise that they get. Up to a flat 0. You can't go negative. So if they roll like 10 raises, you still take a full dramatic wound. Make sense?
Yeah. No worries for me.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. I got 4 raises.
Oh, I got 2.
All right. So the barrel explodes all over the place. Right before it does, Q and Sinead crank the wheel away. You guys can hear Giuseppe screaming in the barrels like, what's going on? And this is a great slow motion shot. It's just the ship slowly turns away, exposing to the bottom of the whirlpool, the bottom of the ship, like the hull, barnacle encrusted and all. The port side of the ship, the deck on the port side, is like gracing the wall of the whirlpool because it's leaning so far away. And you guys start sliding away, sliding port side, as you guys are completely shielded from the explosion. It just boom. Like it's just... goes off, and the explosion completely knocks out the hull of the ship. Giuseppe comes flying out from the middle of it. The force explosion forced him out of the bowels of the ship and into the water of the wall of the whirlpool. It breaks the ship in half. Everybody takes one wound except for Arthur, who is really close to the explosion, who takes a total of 8, which I don't think is quite 2 dramatic wounds yet, but it's up there.
Does everyone take 1 dramatic wound, you mean?
Yes. Well, no, okay, actually, so... no. It's just it's 1 like normal wound. Like it's like 7 wounds total, oh, cool. Minus 6. So yeah. It's just 1 normal wound.
Gotcha.
Because Sinead actually rolled really well this time, except for Arthur, who did take a dramatic wound no matter what. Plus 3 minor wounds on top of that one.
I couldn't save him from his own stupidity.
It's just boom. The monster is super dead. And I mean dead. But you guys are also pretty close to it as you're floating in the ocean. That's it. You guys are floating in the ocean. Now what?
So how far is the dot now?
It's getting slowly closer. You can make it out on the horizon. You can clearly tell the pirate's flag. It is a pirate ship.
Ah, great.
Great.
Ah, good.
I know the ship is like super exploded, but is it like actively sinking or is it just we can limp until the ship finds us?
No, it's like it's pretty, there's some bits of it still topside, but it's got a few seconds before it's completely underwater. Like it's in half.
Well, then I would probably suggest we'll make our way to the lifeboats now.
Yep. What?
Oh no, the lifeboats are also gone. Like that went down. Like they're shredded.
I'm going to break off a door or any sort of piece of wood to float onto.
There is plenty of wood. Yes, planks.
Yeah, Sinead does the same. Also, I realized that I made a negative sound at this when we realized these were pirates. But Sinead is literally a pirate. So I feel like that's going to work to our advantage, actually. Literally her first background. She is a pirate.
I hope there's honor among thieves then.
I feel like at the very least, they have to respect the fact that I just blew up a monster.
Do they, though? Because you also blew up your ship while you did it.
We're alive,
from their
though.
Perspective,
we're alive.
I hope you know that they did not. They didn't see a monster. Okay, they just saw a whirlpool. So all they saw was you guys like getting stuck in some choppy waters, and then Rob blowing your guys' ship up. That's what they saw.
Wait, how close are they then? Because if they can see us in the whirlpool, like they're not on the horizon then. Like that's actually
no, not anymore. Like
ships
they
move slowly though.
Like they're
not that
we got like a few miles an hour.
It's moving towards you guys, and you guys all grab different planks of wood to drift on, and you just have to wait it out. Q, you feel kind of comforted by the fact that you're in ocean, as if it's giving you a nice hug. Arthur, aww. Your hair is on fire. Giuseppe looks unconscious on his piece of wood. Sinead's hand is no longer hurting, but is almost completely black at this point.
Okay, wait. So it's still growing, but it doesn't hurt anymore?
No. Like it grew to that point, and now it stopped. Like it stopped growing, but that's how far it got.
Okay.
And as you guys wait in the water with burning planks of wood, the pirate ship comes right up on you guys. You hear somebody yell something that sounded a little Italian, as it were, as the ship lowers a ladder, and you see a man dressed as a pirate with some Giuseppe style clothing lean over the deck and say, "Come aboard."
I mean, we do.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, really much else we can do.
Arthur just caused an explosion that is probably alienated from anybody that truly cares about him, so he's just going to stay silent on this one and just get on the damn ship.
Yeah. Oh my god, my new headcanon for Arthur is Seahawk from She-Ra.
You lost me on that one.
Oh my god, everyone go watch She-Ra.
I'll ask Cass about it. She's been talking about She-Ra like 24/7 since she finished it.
It's so cute.
So as Giuseppe's still unconscious, by the way. Does anyone grab him, or you like leave him there?
Arthur's gonna grab
him. So you guys climb into the top of the ship. It's a large, large pirate ship. You're surrounded by about 24 pirates of seems to be various backgrounds, but predominantly Vodachian. A really wide cast. One pirate, she looks over at somebody else and whispers something. The whispers start to spread throughout the ship. And then in the middle of the crowd, a very large man with a black hat, who seems to be an authority figure, crosses his arms and smirks at the unconscious lad being loaded on. And he says, "Well, well, Giuseppe Vivaldi, son of Antonio Vivaldi and Enrico Marcello, the two most powerful men in Vodaci, two merchant princes ransom right here on our ship."
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.